I'm Dr. Kiki, and this is the TWIT Network's Top 25 Green Tech Innovators series.
This episode of Green Tech Today is brought to you by the Eco-Imagination Challenge from GE. GE and its partners are awarding $200 million to ideas that help build the next generation power grid for the 21st century. For more information and to view and comment on ideas, go to ecoimagination.com/challenge.
What's got two wheels, a lot of speed, but doesn't make much noise? Zero motorcycles. Hailing from midway between Santa Cruz and Silicon Valley, this Scotts Valley, California company is leading the pack in electric motorcycle innovation with American-made bikes that will bring out the environmentalist and even the biggest gearhead. With three bikes on the market and more on the way, they have something for almost everyone. Gene Bandman is the CEO of Zero Motorcycles.
All right. Most motorcycles that we see, we know them because we hear them first. Can you turn this bike on for us so that we can get a listen to it?
Well, it's actually already on. Oh, I turned it on before you came up. So it's totally quiet.
It's totally quiet. So how does a person know? I mean, they've turned it on. What indicates that the bike is on?
Yeah, so there's a dash light that's on. The headlight is always on. And of course, there's a very loud horn, so you can let people know that you're coming if you see that you need to let them know. Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. Tell me more about this bike. What makes this bike stand out from all the others?
Yeah, so it's a battery electric powertrain. It's the latest in lithium ion battery technology, which allows us to put a lot of energy into this 90-pound battery right here. These batteries have a life of 8 years, eight plus years, really. So they last the life of the bike. And that, really, one of the key points about electric motorcycles is the lack of maintenance. So the battery lasts 8+ years. The motor has only one moving part. So there's no fluids to change, no tune-ups to do, no rebuilds.
Right, no oil changes.
Exactly, just plug and go. And that's a totally different ownership experience. You just plug it in when you get home. And it's always ready to go. This bike gets about 30 to 40 miles around town, which is great for, you know, town use, doing errands. Some people are out on their ranches, checking out their ranches, and you know, it's a great motorcycle for that kind of use. It's not a long distance road motorcycle.
Right.
That kind of application of battery electric technology is in the future. But for getting around town, this technology is really super right now.
Yeah, if you're on highways, what's the max mileage that people have gotten out of it?
Yeah, so this bike will go 67 miles an hour, so you can get on the freeway for a few exits. Sometimes that's important, even around town.
Yeah.
But if you just peg it, you know, at full blast, 67 miles an hour, you'll get only about 22 miles of range.
Okay.
So it's really not a freeway commuter. It's a get-around-town kind of machine. Now, this particular
What's 0 to 60? Like, how long to get going fast?
Yeah, it's about 14, 15 seconds, 0 to 60. On the other hand, it's really quick, 0 to 45, which in around town, that's really the key thing. With a top speed of 67, it kind of, you know, the acceleration tapers off as you get towards 60.
Yeah, so what do consumers need to know about this bike?
Basically, the range is something they have to think about. You know, what is their usage model for the bike? And they have to think about the kind of riding they're going to do and does it fit in with this model? I think they have to get their head around the idea that you don't ride it till you're out of gas and then go find a gas station. Basically, you leave home every morning with a full tank, essentially.
Yeah, how long does it take to charge the batteries if you have drained them?
If you've completely drained them, it takes about 4 hours.
Okay, where's the plug? How do you plug this thing in?
Yeah, so it's a 110. Here's the plug right here. There's a cable that an ordinary cord that plugs into this. This is basically the same as a computer cord.
So wall socket.
Wall socket.
You don't need any special socket like in your house to be able to plug it in.
Exactly right. Any 110 circuit. It pulls about 10 amps out of the wall. Most circuits are 15 to 20 amps, so it's just fine. It won't break any of your circuit breakers.
And the cost of this bike right now?
So these two bikes, the street bike and the dual sport bike, are $9,950.
Okay, so the battery is about half the cost of the
battery.
The
battery is about half the cost. However, there's government incentives for consumers. You get a 10% tax credit from the federal government, so that's $1,000 off. And then various states have additional incentives. For example, in California, we have a $1,500 rebate from the California Air Resources Board. In Georgia, there's a $2,000 rebate. In Colorado, there's a $4,300 rebate.
Wow, buy it in Colorado.
If you live there, absolutely.
Live there.
So depending on where you live, you can get a very, very good deal on these motorcycles.
So this is your dual sport bike. What are right. these other bikes behind us, and what are the main differences?
Right. So the dual sport, as I said, has the knobby tires and the taller suspension. Using the same frame, we also did a supermoto style bike with the pure street tires. It sits a little lower to the ground, and of course it has the smoother riding road tires. But the other characteristics are very similar, 6-7 miles per hour top speed, same kind of range, just a different usage model. This one you can go take on the trails as well as on the street. This one is more pure street bike.
Pure street. And then back here we have pure dirt.
Yeah, so this is where the company got started. We got started with dirt bikes, and the huge advantage of quiet dirt bikes is that you can ride them in your backyard track without irritating your neighbors. Or you can set up riding parks in urban areas and get permits. And so there's hundreds and hundreds of these bikes out being ridden in people's backyards and in local areas without bothering people.
Yeah, and does this get off the line faster? Is it or does it have a different top speed?
Yeah, so the nice thing about electric motors is maximum torque at 0 RPM. So on dirt bikes especially, where you're doing a lot of cornering, that torque coming out of the corner is just really exciting. And these are super light bikes. This is only 170 pounds, that's about 100 pounds less
lighter
than your typical gas dirt bike. And so very, very maneuverable, very torquey, a lot of fun to ride.
Sounds like it. And yeah. Do you ride?
I do. I've been riding since I was 17.
Awesome. Yeah. Will you take one of these bikes for a
sure.
spin for us so we can see it go?
Absolutely.
Thanks. So right. we'll let you get into your helmet and your leathers.
All right. I'll be right back.
Okay. Next up, the super geeky stuff. That's the stuff I love. We're going to talk motors, batteries, engineering of these extra special electric bikes. That's up next. Stay tuned.
We're partnering with four of the biggest venture capital firms in the clean energy space, three in the U.S., one in Europe. Again, we think that the combination of GE investment and venture capital investment is going to allow us to increase innovation. It's going to allow us to accelerate new ideas. It puts us shoulder to shoulder with some of the smartest tech investors, and we can use what I would call the industrial clout of GE to bring technologies to this marketplace faster.
GE announced its challenge at a San Francisco event along with its four venture capital partners: Emerald Technology Ventures, Foundation Capital, Kleiner Perkins Caulfield & Byers, and Rockport Capital Partners have all joined with GE. Ideas from companies and individuals can be entered through the ecoimagination.com website for the next 10 weeks. So check out ecoimagination.com.
Welcome back. This is Abe Askenazi. He's the VP of Engineering here at Zero Motorcycles.
We've got a number of batteries laid out here on the table. What's the difference between them, and why do you have different batteries for different bikes?
Sure. So we have our X battery on the top here, and both of these are the same S battery, we call it. So we have a street bike and we have a dirt bike. Mm-hmm. It turns out that for the street, what people want the most these days is range. It's all about the range. Same thing in cars. electric cars, electric motorcycles for the street. It's all about the range, how far you can go. So we have a larger pack. It's actually twice the capacity of our X battery, which is our dirt bike battery. And for the street bike guys, removability, the ability to take the battery out of the bike, it's not that intense of a requirement.
Right.
So we put the larger battery inside of the chassis, and we don't accommodate the easy replacement of the battery. On the dirt bike, dirt bike guys are really about the action, and they go, they ride, and they're in the motocross track or off on the trails for 30 minutes, 40 minutes, maybe an hour, and they're done for that time, and they can take the battery out and put it on a charger and get it charged up and then put it back in and go out in a session again. That works great for them. So the applications are very different. We have a dirt bike frame here that you can see where you can see how the battery, that X battery, slides in and out very easily. And the S frame here that's used on both of our street bikes, the S and DS street bikes, the battery goes from the front and it's inside of the...
Right, so it's you'd probably have to take off the front wheel to be able to actually get to the battery.
To get it out. Yeah, you can service the battery in frame, but if you want to get the battery out, then you'd have to do that, yes.
Okay, so Zero Motorcycles, you're designing different bikes for different uses. The batteries are also for different uses,
absolutely,
for different types of people.
Absolutely.
You have completely different, you're just different consumers you're designing for in these cases.
You know, that actually translates fairly well from the internal combustion engine world. You take a look at dirt bikes versus street bikes, they're two different animals completely. The requirements, the usage requirements are very different. So what's important to a street bike may not be important at all to a dirt bike guy. The beauty of Zero Motorcycles is that we're not an electric transportation company. We're a motorcycle company.
Okay.
So we are, we listen to our customers, and our customers are not very different. We do have a bit of a reach in the segment because of the electric motorcycle part of it. Mm-hmm. But it's still motorcycle guys, people that would be interested in a motorcycle, and we need to be listening to those customers and not to just electrical geeks that are interested in just that part of the technology.
Right. So weight is a big issue for all of this. The sport bike is 270, and the dirt bike is how much?
175, yeah.
175, so 100 pounds lighter. How much lighter is the battery for the dirt bike?
The battery is about 40 pounds for the dirt bike, and it's about twice that for the street bike. As you'll see here, if you take a look at this pack, we call it, again, the X pack, it's two of them that fit inside of the S battery.
Okay.
The battery ends up being a bit heavier because we put a lot of the battery management systems, bike management systems inside of the battery itself.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas on the X pad, those are external, and this is just a battery pack, pretty much. So the package ends up being more than twice as heavy because of that, but in actual cell capacity, is just twice as big as this.
Life expectancy on both types of batteries about the same?
It's a bit longer on the street bikes just because of the usage model.
Mm-hmm.
We're saying we have over 5 years life expectancy on both batteries.
Okay, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Can I pick up one of these frames? They're
absolutely
pretty light, aren't they?
Yeah.
Okay,
yes,
so this is the street frame, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I look like the Incredible Hulk, but it's really light, actually. It's really not. How much does this weigh?
I think that one is around 17 pounds, if I'm not mistaken. And this one is a bit lighter than the street bike frame.
It is. It's substantially lighter.
Yeah.
I feel like I could just throw it around a little bit.
it's made of aluminum, thin gauge aluminum, high strength alloy. So what's used by the aircraft people, and the intent again is both from a motorcycle standpoint. So motorcycles, you are on a car. The car is a big thing. You get into it. You're part of this big thing. Sure, weight is important on cars, but not as important on motorcycles. Motorcycles you throw around. It's much more of athletic usage of the vehicle than a car is. So,
right,
so
you're designing for being airborne.
Yeah. Or, and on the street, you're designing for quick transitions and being nimble and stuff. So from a motorcycle standpoint, weight has always been important, and we appreciate that. Now you throw the fact that range is important, and batteries are not quite, they don't have the energy capacity as gasoline does. So now weight is even more important for us. In order for this thing to go faster, further, it needs to be light from that standpoint as well. So we're very conscious about weight.
Okay, tell me a little bit about the motor in this motorcycle. It's not combustion. We're not looking at a combustion engine. How's it powered?
It's an electric motor. It's a brush motor, DC.
Can you show me how that all works?
How it all works. So the battery hooks up on the one side, and the shaft rotates.
It's heavy.
On the other side. It is heavy. But if I try to do this with an internal combustion engine and bring it off the table and show it to you, there's no way that I could do that. So it is heavy because, the magnets and everything else that's built into it. But for the power output, it is really not that heavy at all. So, electric motors are, 90%+ efficient. Internal combustion engines are 20% plus efficient. I mean, it's quite a difference. And you really feel it in the weight, which goes into making the bike. You mentioned before that our street bike is around 275 pounds or so. A comparable powered gas motorcycle is about 370 pounds or so, or more like 400 pounds.
Much lighter.
So we're a lot lighter, and I guess it has to do with the fact that we're very weight conscious, but also that the method of propulsion is a lot more efficient.
Great. So method of propulsion, this currently is not a motor designed by Zero Motorcycles. This is another company's motor. Are you in the process of developing your own?
So I believe that it is public information that we were granted a California Energy Commission grant. And we're looking at where we take the motorcycle-specific electric motor technology.
Push the envelope, so to speak.
There's a lot of interest in electric motors and electric vehicles currently across the world, really. But specific to motorcycles, is someone doing a motor that's specific to the needs of a motorcycle? You don't see motorcycle companies using car engines. Internal combustion car engines or internal combustion industrial engines. All the engines that are used on motorcycles today, on gas motorcycles today, are very specific to those motorcycles. That's not where the electric motorcycle industry is yet. And so we hope that with that grant we can get it there so that we have a motor that's very specific to our application.
Okay. Can you show me how the air flows through the motorcycle and explain how the airflow system actually helps the bike's performance?
Absolutely. So one of the things that, just like on internal combustion engines, it is the case that you need to keep that engine cool in order for it to perform effectively. So electric motors are a lot more efficient, but they still dissipate a bit of heat. What we have here is we call it forced air induction, where we suck in air from the back of the motorcycle, and we channel it to the motor, through this conduit into the motor, and it goes across the motor and keeps that rotor that's rotating inside of there cool. So as we are creating a little bit of heat in producing the power that we deliver to the motorcycle, we're cooling that off and we're making the whole thing more efficient.
Okay, so instead of air being used for combustion, it's for cooling.
For cooling.
It's the exact opposite.
Yeah, and it's as we move forward and as we create motors that are more specific to our application, it may be that we find other ways of keeping the motor cool. Or, you know, we push efficiency to a level that maybe we don't need to have forced air induction with the motors that are available now in order to deliver the performance that that we need to be delivering. This was the solution, and it's a very effective solution.
Yeah. And you ride yourself?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What are your personal impressions or your feelings about riding electric versus riding the gas motorcycle
that you
came from?
It's a great question. So I grew up on gas motorcycles. I worked at a Buell motorcycle company for 15 years, so I have lots of motorcycle experience. I've ridden a number of motorcycles, not only Buells, but a bunch of competitive vehicles. And I thought I knew, you know, everything there was to know about motorcycles. And I was a bit apprehensive about, you know, the lack of sound, you know, just a different riding experience. What I found when I came out to ride this motorcycle as part of my interview was that you don't miss the noise. You don't miss that. Having for the first time being on a motorcycle where you're experiencing your surroundings pretty fully. You're very much aware of what's going on. It's really neat. I mean, it's really. I can't tell you that it's better. I think that there's something to be said about this. You know, the sound of a motorcycle and how that elicits some sort of emotional response. So I can't tell you that it's way, but I can tell you that it's different in a good way. It's different in a way that maybe, yeah, it doesn't give you that, you know, acceleration, if you will, but the ability to feel, it's like the magic carpet ride, right? You're moving, but you can't really hear what's moving you forward, and you're aware of everything that's going on around you. It's really quite neat. So I was sold pretty quickly after I rode the motorcycle. Yeah.
Well, for someone who currently does not ride motorcycles, yeah, these things are selling me on the possibility of learning.
Yeah, and we should talk about that. So the things that are different in a good way from introduction to the sport, there is no shifting.
Right. No
shifting.
So there
is no clutch. There is no speeds. It's just it's a direct drive motor. As you can see, the motor is connected directly to the chain. We showed on the one that's on the bench, there's a sprocket, mm-hmm, that's mounted right to the output shaft of the motor. So it's direct drive. There's no transmission, so there's no need for a clutch, for shifting, for any of that complication, which also goes into making the motor light, right? You don't have all those. An internal combustion engine isn't just the piston and the cylinder and, you know, what's creating the power, but it's the transmission and the primary drive. You know, it's a pretty complicated unit. In terms of part count, we didn't talk about this before, but I've worked with engines for a very long time, and engines are very complicated things. I mean, if you take an engine apart, there's valves and rings. And there's, you know, hundreds and hundreds of parts. There's only one moving part here. I mean, it's just the simplicity afforded by this technology is quite astounding, which goes into the weight and the efficiency of the thing. But anyway, going back to the fact that you don't need to be shifting this thing, it's again, you figure that you'd miss it, but on the one hand, the reason that you have shifting on internal combustion engines is because the power is made in such a way that you need to have that transmission. So an internal combustion engine, it makes power higher in its RPM, especially smaller engines. You got to spool that engine up to get to where the power is. And that the power band ends up being pretty narrow. So to stay in the power band, you need to, you know, be constantly shifting to, you know, match the vehicle speed with that narrow band of engine speed.
Mm-hmm.
With this electric motor, you're making most of it's exactly backwards. It's the opposite. You make the power down low. It's got lots of torque, and that's where you're feeling. Of course, you make power with RPM, but relative to what you feel, the torque that's being put out at the rear tire's contact patch, it's happening from zero on to at some point where it starts to taper off.
Right.
So
around 40 miles an hour.
So you don't need that constant need for or constant requirement for shifting in order to stay on the sweet spot. The sweet spot is quite broad, and it starts from zero, which is very different and unique. Yeah.
It is different. It's very different and unique. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the interview, Abe. And thank you for watching the TWiT Network's Top 25 Green Innovators in the Green Tech Industry. I'm Dr. Kiki, and stay tuned for next week's show, where I'll be somewhere else. Let's wait and see.
That's it for this episode of Green Tech Today. Subscribe at twit.tv/GTT and never miss a show. If you have a question or a comment, email greentechtoday@twit.tv. Or you can leave a voicemail at 415-GT-TODAY.